listening to Loving BDSM Podcast, episode 139. Kayla Lord's here with the one, the only, the dude who's drinking an iced coffee bigger than his head, John Brownstone. And if you're watching on YouTube,
yes, I am.
He just did the comparison, and it is indeed bigger than his head. I do not exaggerate on everything. This week, let's get to the topic at hand. This week, we're talking about being poly and a certain someone also being a 24/7 dominant. So we're talking about John Brownstone.
Who's he?
So what I did was I gave you some espresso and then sat you down.
And hope I talk, huh?
Yeah, we'll figure it out.
Yeah.
Welcome to the Loving BDSM Podcast. And yes, it's like this every week. If this is your first time listening, glad to have you. If you're back for another week, welcome back. Loving BDSM is produced every Friday for your kinky pleasure and education. And show notes are found at lovingbdsm.net. You know people could hear the ice swishing around, right?
Sorry.
There's a hot mic here, you know. Come back often and feel free to add the podcast to your favorite podcast app. If you love what you hear, we'd love a good review wherever you listen to us to help other kinksters find us. And those reviews really, really, really do help.
They do.
You can follow the show on Twitter at LovingBDSM, on FetLife at LovingBDSMPC, on Instagram at that handle I hate, LovingDS and the number one, and I totally have a story about that, or on YouTube at YouTube.com/LovingBDSM. You can actually watch us on YouTube instead of just listening to us. If you need a chuckle, I suggest it. if you are watching us on YouTube, the show notes are not below in the description. It's a link to the show notes is in the description, but you can still get to everything you need, and all links are in the show notes. So I have two separate stories about Instagram. Longtime listeners know why I call it that handle I hate, because it's loving DS, which is not BDSM, and the number one, which what? So we had a good version of our name for Instagram very early on.
Yes.
And then our account got shut down because I don't know what happened, because I didn't post anything like that you shouldn't post on Instagram under that account. And by the time I went back in to sign up for a new account, you could not get BDSM in your handle. They just wouldn't even let you do it. So I had to manipulate Instagram. And that's how I came up with Loving DS, which DS, we are DS, so that's kind of accurate, but it's not BDSM. And then the number one, I had something about that irks me. And so that is why it's the handle I hate. So we did have one listener who was watching us on YouTube and cracked up and said, why don't you just change your handle? And so then I explained the whole story to her. But then we also, so I believe it was our friend Professor Sags who jokingly sent me a message that says, I really think you should just change your Instagram handle to @thathandleihate. And I thought, you know, I've been tempted. in 1 week, two funny little funnies about Instagram. Okay, so we do have some announcements. A reminder. As always, we will keep reminding you, but maybe not as in your face as we have been for the past month. We are on Patreon. We would love for anybody who can do it to come join us there. You can pledge as low as $1 a month, and you get access to all the stuff we do, which is a behind-the-scenes podcast episode that for the month of July just went live. We talked about all our plan, everything we've done in July, and then all the plans we have coming up for August, which I'll give a couple of little teasers about that in a minute. But the kinky patrons got like way more details, so I'm just saying that's a thing. Early, that's what they did. They got the information early is how that worked. But I also do a podcast where I'm reading posts from my archive, especially from back in the day when I was deep in thought about what kink meant, and I was writing a lot of erotic nonfiction, and I was writing a lot of my fantasies. And it's sort of that point in my writing life where I kind of cut my teeth and learned how to write sexy words. So it's weird to read them now, but that's cool. So there's a lot going on. Every penny we earn from Patreon and your support is helping us run these sites, run these podcasts, all the things we're doing. Plus it's gonna help us do some other things. We'll talk about that in a minute. The other thing, so that's Patreon, patreon.com/KaylaLords, link in the show notes. We tweet about it every so often. So it is our pinned tweet, if you're on Twitter and that helps you. Literally as low as $1 a month is super, super appreciated. And hopefully we provide plenty of value for whatever dollar level you're comfortable with. And you can stop it at any point. It's not like we lock you in and make you like stay there with us forever. No, it does not work that way. I might if I could. I do have a controlling nature. I would probably do that if I could. Yeah, yeah, I probably would do that.
Yeah,
if I
you
could.
Would.
Okay, so that's that. The other thing is a reminder that if you need to do any gift giving, either to people you love, including yourself, or to people you're obligated to buy gifts for, not always the same people. John Brownstone has a vanilla shop, thewooddom.com.
Yes.
He's still a little bit on Etsy, but we're really trying to move everybody over to his main website. Pins and bowls and shaving sets.
Oh my.
And oh my, all kinds of stuff. All yes. Hand-turned, all made by him.
Mm-hmm.
Freaking gorgeous. It's awesome. We are currently updating our Kinky Fuckery shop, which we finally did name the Kinky Fuckery shop.
Mm-hmm.
Some people apparently have been getting to it accidentally because WordPress and technical things are doing weird things. And
yes.
If you go to the old shop link, it's redirecting. I don't know. I don't understand these things.
It's a bit bizarre. It shouldn't be happening. And somehow some wires got crossed. But,
right. But that's okay. It's not quite a live site right now if you
no.
get redirected there, but it will be soon. And so part of what we're going to do in the month of August is we're going to make sure that shop is reopened, the Kinky Fuckery shop with the paddles,
mm-hmm.
the canes. You talked about the new items last week, right?
Yes.
No, we said no. We couldn't say yet.
Right.
We'll talk about those later, maybe in the bonus section, the
mm-hmm.
new item. And then, you know, we got all kinds of stuff at the Kinky Fuckery store. But because that's coming back, we're going to do a sale in August.
Right.
So it'll be a little discount. Don't get too excited.
Mm-hmm.
No 50% off anything. But it'll still be a sale. And I don't know if maybe I'm the only person on the planet who keeps up with shit like this. But the month of August is our third anniversary. 3 years
yeah.
of loving BDSM. August 27th, 2015,
mm-hmm.
to be exact. So we're going to celebrate for the whole month of August. We'll talk more about it come August. The giveaway
yeah.
will be open the whole month.
Cool.
We've got some great prizes that were given to us by that were given to us by some great companies. Plus, a certain someone is adding things to the mix. So we will talk more about that in August. If you would like more details, you can become a Kinky patron and you can get them now. But we will be talking about them. So the other thing is, and we are going to talk about this now.
Mm-hmm.
We think we can go to Eroticon.
We hope so.
We have a plan.
Yeah, we have a plan.
And so we're going to need y'all's help. If this plan is going to work, we're going to need the whole world's help, quite frankly.
Yeah.
So it's not like I'm not just looking at you out there who can, you know, see my face or hear my voice. It's collectively the you of the world.
Yes.
But what we're going to do is we're going to take all of the net profits from both the Vanilla Wood Dom store and the
mm-hmm.
Kinky Fuckery shop and anything. So right now we're sitting at a certain level on Patreon, and it's the perfect level to pay for all of our expenses.
Correct.
So from here on out, anything over and above that number will also, all those three things will go into the pot for Eroticon.
Correct.
And it's part go back because it's something where we learn, and it's where we get to connect with other people who kind of do what we do, and
mm-hmm.
we get to teach, and we get to learn from each other, and all these cool things. But we're also doing a redo on London and the honeymoon because the honeymoon part did not happen.
No.
I mean, I did have somebody message me and say, you know, y'all said you'd probably do an Eroticon episode. And I never saw that. Did I miss something? I'm like, no, you didn't miss anything. It didn't happen like it was supposed to because so many things didn't happen like they were supposed to. So just so you guys know, we'll be talking more about it in August because that'll be when we really start. It all starts
mm-hmm.
August 1 for us. But that's our plan. All net profits from the stores and anything above the current level we're at on Patreon right now, it all goes to sending us back to London. I even put in a speaker proposal for Eroticon to potentially speak again. So we will see. Definitely no guarantee there. So that's we'll definitely talk more about it in August. So but if you want to know some of the details now, Kinky patrons, low as a dollar, you too can get the deets first. Okay.
Ooh.
Now I'm gonna move on.
Yes.
Okay, because I'm getting a little bit better about promoting us. I still
mm-hmm.
feel really weird about promoting us.
Okay.
I know. So I want to talk about a show now.
Okay.
So this topic was suggested to us by our friend, whom we adore, Professor Sex. She is wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
When we did a call, I think on Twitter, for topics to be suggested, especially from a dominant perspective, because we don't talk about those things. And that's the general we don't talk about those things quite as often. She gave us a really good one, and I added it to the list. And she asked us to discuss a Dom's take, that would be John Brownstone, his take, on navigating non-monogamy while maintaining a 24/7 DS. So if you saw the title of the show and heard the intro, we say polyamory.
Right.
That is not the only thing that non-monogamy is. Non-monogamy can be an open relationship. It can be swinging. It can be just being monogamish, where you're not completely monogamous, but you're not, you know, you don't have multiple partners. We identify as polyamorous. Can't even use my words right. So that's what we will talk about, because that's a relationship. This is strictly a, this is our perspective on these things. And hopefully if anybody finds something that they can glean from it that's helpful, then that's wonderful. But this is another one where it'd be primarily, this is how we do this. And it might not at all reflect what other people do. So I do have to tell this little bit. So I remembered that we had the topic. I'd been looking at it in our list, and I had I knew exactly what the companion blog post would be, which it was published on Wednesday. It's linked in the show notes as well. And all that was my perspective of being a submissive who does not have other partners with a dominant who does have other partners, right? So, like, I thought about that topic, and immediately my blog post came to mind. I went, oh, I want to do this topic.
You had a light bulb moment.
The whole bedroom just brightened up.
And it was a bright light. It was like a full-blown halogen light.
But because this topic focuses on John Brownstone, and he has to be the one willing to talk about these things and to share these things, we had to ask how he felt, right? Like, I was like, what do you think of this? He looked at me like, I said, what do you think of this if I ask probing and too personal questions? And he went, yes, we can do that. Okay. And then the other way that I got him here, and I've made him a happy, happy, dominant man, it's happy hour at Starbucks the day that we're recording.
Yeah,
and
buddy,
we both have coffees as big as our heads.
Yes, we do.
They look like, if you can see them on YouTube, they look like milkshakes, but mine's a latte and yours is a mocha.
Yeah.
Decaf, though. We did get decaf. I like it. So you've got to stop swishing that around. People can hear your ice. I don't know if anybody turned on this podcast just to listen to your ice.
Carry on, girl.
Well, I'm about to turn it over to you. I have been talking for 15 minutes. It's your turn. So here's how part of this, there was my perspective. I did write a huge long blog post about it. To sum it up, you know, too long didn't read. I'm perfectly comfortable with it. We've set boundaries. I set boundaries that I needed to be comfortable with it. And it works because I trust him so much. He earned my trust long before we ever did this. And he continues to keep and maintain my trust. One person did ask, one of our kinky patrons, and I addressed it in the blog post, but I'll address it here too, because I know it's a question that people have, to me as the person who's, quote, allowing this. And the question is, well, how do you let him have these other partners, especially submissive partners or bottoms? Some of them aren't necessarily submissive, but they're kind of a bottom, without worrying that he'll find somebody else better than you or he'll leave you. And the answer I gave in the blog post was simply, if I was worried that he could find somebody else, I'd have to never let him leave the house, never let him talk to another person other than me.
Yeah.
That could potentially happen at any point.
That could happen to anybody at any time.
Exactly.
That's not,
I can't guarantee he won't meet somebody he likes better than me. Yeah, it would be devastating. It would be awful. But I also can't live our relationship like that. I don't think I could be as comfortable as I am. Two reasons. One, without realizing it. I don't know when you came to it. We'll talk about it in a minute. But I didn't even know polyamory was a thing until a couple of years ago. And true, about 5 years ago. Until about 3 years ago, I didn't think I had the capacity for it. I honestly did not know. And I will say, I don't know that I would have ever been able to do it with just any partner I've had. The level of trust that John Brownstone and I have established with one another, It doesn't even occur to me, because quite frankly, it's exactly what I said before. If somebody could win his love away from me like that, that's going to happen at any point. I can't control that. And I'm not going to spend my life worrying about it or trying to control it. That is me. Other people have different takes on it and different feelings about it. I do because it is so hard to win my trust, romantic, sexual, DS right. trust, it is so hard to win that trust that once you've got it, you've got it. I'll pretty much let you do whatever the hell you want because I'm not worried about it.
I mean, first and foremost, from my, you know, I am totally vested in our relationship.
Thank goodness. I'm very happy to hear that.
I'm sure you are. But I mean that in a way that you are and always will be first and foremost.
Okay. So I guess that starts the whole conversation. How are you able to do this knowing that I'm first and foremost in your life?
Mm-hmm.
How does this work? And that's a big, broad question. That'll take you anywhere you want. But, you know, do you want to start with how you figured out you were poly or how you're able to do it with me? Could you have imagined doing this with any other partner you've ever had? Kinky or otherwise?
I honestly don't know. I think in a way I've always had a capacity that I found myself caring for multiple people.
Mm-hmm.
I think it comes from, not that my parents were by any way, shape, and form would be considered hippies.
I've met them. No, okay, no, nobody right. would call them hippies. No.
But where I grew up, there was a very heavy 60s Woodstock era influence.
Free love kind of thing.
Yeah. And I think maybe
it just made you open and accepting of the idea.
Yeah.
Even if it didn't go, right. Go be poly.
I mean, I even, not that this really, maybe it does, maybe it doesn't. When I turned 18, I lived on a commune for a while.
I would imagine that would influence you greatly. I'm thinking that could be influential in a person's life. I don't know. Call me. I don't know. I just think so. What kind of commune was it? I don't want to lump all the communes together. That seems unfair. I'm sure they're all unique and different in their ways.
At this point, I really don't know how to describe
it. Was there a lot of sex, drugs, and rock and roll?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Well, then that's like every other commune I've ever imagined in my life. So maybe they're not
But I mean, everybody worked for the common good of everybody
right,
else.
Right, and I've heard
everybody,
that about,
You know, we grew our own food. You know, some of us did work and, you know, everything kind of went into
contributed
a pot. Everybody contributed to the whole.
Gotcha. And so there was... Were there in that, because this is, y'all, this is fascinating. He's only ever briefly mentioned this to me, so I feel like I got like a captive audience here. So in that particular commune, were there a lot of very strict boundaries with relationships in general, like you'd see in general society, or was it looser in general?
I'm sure it was much more looser and open.
Gotcha. Just whoever looked interesting that day that you were both into, and
you know, it was... The relationships, not that people were bed hopping in any sense of the word, but things were very open.
You were just sort of free to be who you were, love who you were, fuck who
and,
you were,
and
all that.
You know, enjoy whoever's company you were open to enjoying.
And there's a part of me that goes, wow, that sounds amazing. And then my cynical side kicks in. So I'm not sure I would do well at the commune. I'll just say I might not be cut out for that. So we'll start with current relationship, I think, because that is where we will get back to the past.
Yeah.
Do not worry. But with our relationship, so I'm going to start with, there's no order to this, y'all, so just hang on. So a question that I have thought, I've never worried about it, but it is a question I've thought, and I know I'm sure other people might think it too. So you are in a deeply committed relationship with me.
Correct.
And then you have these other relationships. Mm-hmm. Before we talk about what those other relationships are, as much as you are comfortable talking about, of course, how do the feelings differ? I mean, they do differ. I can't imagine you'd feel the exact same for me that you feel for somebody else, or that you'd feel for them what you feel for another person, right? Is it a different...
It is different. With one, it's actually pretty much just a DS.
Just a power exchange?
Just more of a power exchange in anything.
You're friends. You respect each other. You genuinely like each other.
Correct.
I mean, I don't, you wouldn't do it otherwise. I know you. But it is It's just a power exchange.
It's pretty much. Now let me explain. This one is long distance. Mm-hmm. Okay. We have never met. We've talked about meeting. Mm-hmm. Have hoped to meet at some point.
Sure.
But it's strictly online. Now I will say one of the pitfalls that I fell into, that you had to check me on with it early on, was I got sucked into the new relationship energy.
Yes, I recall.
Big time. Yes, yes, yes.
I recall that.
This person and I, we were, oh my God, every free moment I could be, you know, I was tapping away and yes. Chatting.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, that did happen.
And, you know, so that was something I fell into. And in, you know, when you kind of called me out on it.
Gently, y'all. I didn't have an attitude. But
no,
yeah,
no,
I did
you,
say
you,
something.
You didn't have an attitude, but you did say something about it. I didn't realize how easily and how quickly I had fallen down that rabbit hole of NRE. Mm-hmm. It just really.
And, you know, on one level, it's really cool to see that happened to you because it means you've made a connection. It means you're excited about something.
Yeah.
I think I remember briefly having feelings, you know, just a moment of going, oh, well, I wish I was getting that attention, but it really did just flit away very quickly. I didn't sit in that feeling. And I do remember sort of going, you know, it's fine. And it's when it got to a point, it didn't last long. I mean, it wasn't months or anything, but there came a point where too many times in a row, I had to wait for something I needed.
Yes.
And, you know, it's funny because I don't know if this is somebody who understands non-monogamy better than I do. Please tell me. This might not be the right term to use, but I don't mind sharing you, you know. I don't. And I want, know. It's the reason it's one of many reasons I, too, identify in a way as poly. And we consider this poly because I care about them because you care about them. You know, I want you to get what you need. I want them to get what they need. I want it to be, if it's going to be a relationship that works, I want it to be a healthy relationship that works. But there does, I believe I said at one point, I'm important. And yes. We did have to have that conversation.
Right. And we had,
we've
we
never had to
talk,
have that conversation.
And,
again.
And we have not had to revisit that we worked, we talked about
all
it.
Right.
We worked through, I kind of set some boundaries. Mm. Okay. And I guess, you know, while one of the things for me is that, you know, obviously the others, know about Kayla.
Right. That was one of my rules. They
sure,
have to know I exist.
Absolutely. And I think what I find fascinating is that they also care about you.
Yeah, I know. I know they do.
Okay. So it's you know, kind of like a circle of life, maybe.
Circle of kinky life.
Circle of kinky life.
Because that's true. One of your partners I know online. We run in the same circles. Mm-hmm. We know each other online. We have talked online before, but we don't know each other either. And then the other partner, we both have met in person.
Yes.
And that experience with her was the moment I realized I could do this, that I was capable of this. Mm-hmm. Because it was first threesome.
Yes.
Fooling around. I think both of you thought I was going to be the center of attention and the two of you would kind of keep your distance. And I'm not prone to getting wild hairs up my ass, but when I do, I get big ones. And if you are not Southern or country, that metaphor might have just really weirded you out. Sorry, my roots are showing. But it was when I asked you guys to kiss, like there was something that made me go, I want to see this. I wanted, and I knew you two were into each other. I mean, I'm not stupid or blind. I knew you were. And in that moment, I was like, that's what I need to see. That's what I want to experience. And I also didn't like being the center of attention. I'm not good with it. But the moment you kissed, that's when I knew I would be okay with it. And that's when everything really started to change and snowball, where you did start really reaching out. And if people approached you, or you approached people, or and you and that other person, where this all started for me, that y'all have a bond that is deep. I mean, that's now, how would you classify? So your other partner online is a power exchange, friends, but a power exchange. How would you characterize this relationship with our second partner?
Okay.
I stumped him, y'all.
Yes, you did.
Well, would you say that it's, I mean, well, when she's here, it has been, I don't know, who knows what'll happen in the future, it has been sexual.
With a little less.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. I didn't know what to call her. I was trying to give...
Okay. She gave...
Right.
Yeah, she gave consent for us to talk and use her name. So.
Okay. Well, that's your job.
Yeah. All right.
That's what call her. I call her something so different.
I know you do. I know you do. Okay. All right.
We'll figure our shit out, y'all. This is very...
It's been a long, very crazy day for me.
But we've also never had this conversation this way.
True.
You know, so some things get assumed, which is always dangerous. You should never assume anything. But because we know each other so well, and because I have the freedom, I could pick up his phone, say, put your code in, or hey, what, daddy, what's your code, which he's given me, and then I always forget.
You sit behind me. You see everything I'm doing on my computer.
What I do, I get worried if your iPad and your phone are connected, so if one beeps, the other beeps, right?
Yeah.
And I get, because I know you have these people in your life, if you'll have your phone in the garage while you're working, but your iPad will be sitting on your desk, and if it starts blowing up, I'm like, oh shit, what's wrong? Because I know you don't hear it over your woodworking,
over the tools,
but I know you got all these people. Yes. So I'll go lift up the flap of your iPad and see if I can see the notifications coming through, and if it's nothing, I'm like, he'll be fine. But I have, y'all. He's gotten messages from one or the other, and I'm like, oh, these, does he even know these are coming through? So I'll rush to wherever he is and go, do you know you have messages coming through? He's like, yeah, I saw them. It's fine. I'm like, okay, I'm just making sure. I just want everything to be okay.
Yes.
But that is pretty much the extent of my involvement. Mm-hmm. So if, I feel weird calling her by your title for her.
Okay, that's all right.
If, R. I don't know what to call
R.
her. R, thank you. That's because that's based on her name that I call her. If R comes back to visit us, the dynamic will probably be the three of us again, because there's something that happens when the three of us are together that's been powerful.
It was a very powerful dynamic.
Yeah, it was
dynamic,
a deep connection.
Very, very deep connection between the three of us. I was really kind of floored, because I normally don't let people in that quickly.
Neither me.
Okay.
Neither me.
Now,
and I did have a freak out later, because I'm not usually do that.
In retrospect, though, her and I had been talking. We met through Tumblr.
Mm-hmm.
And we had been chatting
for a long time. You knew each other
for a long time, so we knew each other. There was a certain amount of connection there. Now, oddly enough, going back to when you asked me to kiss her, what was funny was that you wanted to shift the focus to me.
Uh-huh.
And
we did, and we did very well.
Yeah, you did. But I wanted you to have the experience of what it was about, what it was like, what it...
Well, hopefully all future encounters will be similar. We shall see. Not just with R, but with whomever else.
Mm-hmm.
So let's go back to the question that I feel like you're trying to avoid a little bit.
Okay.
So with your other partner, your online partner, that is a friendship, but it is pretty much purely power exchange.
Yes.
How would you classify, in broad terms, like you don't have to divulge your innermost secrets here, but how is that, is it a power exchange? Is it a romantic kind of thing? Clearly it's sexual when we're together, but when you're, I mean, I've never asked and I've actually never looked. I mean, do y'all sext with each other? Do y'all chat in that kind of way? Are you comfortable sharing that? I'm getting really nosy.
Oddly enough, you are really the only person that I ever really sexted with.
Oh, okay. You were very good at it. Worked for me.
part of it is because I am a, I'm a tactile person.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So typing out words on a screen don't really
always do it for me. Yeah, you want to be like in the moment kind of thing.
Right. Do we talk about sexual things? Yeah. Okay. Do we flirt?
Yeah. Like y'all flirt as much as y'all breathe. I have met both of you. And I know that you both have deep feelings for each other. Yes. So, you know, I like totally.
Mm-hmm.
But I hope I'm not putting you on the spot. And you are the daddy, by the way. You can totally shut me down.
Go ahead.
Would you classify your feelings, you know, more platonic or more romantic? I mean, I know you care about her deeply. You've never made any secret of that.
No, I do care about her deeply. To me or anybody else. I mean,
Or do you feel a little bit like a daddy to her? Not a daddy in the gross way, but like a daddy dom. Like a caregiver. Let's put it that way.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yes, I do.
She brings out that nurturing side. And knowing the hell she's been through in her life, she brings out my nurturing side too.
I know.
For me, I can't do the long distance thing. Mm-hmm. It's better when she's actually in person.
For me too, is it romantic? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Because when the term poly came up, It spoke to me.
Mm.
Okay. I was always very intrigued by swingers. And yet, it was something that I never felt I wanted to step into.
Gotcha. So you were curious isn't a good word. Interested in the idea of it, but not necessarily for yourself.
Right. Because for me, to be intimate with somebody, I have to have some kind of connection.
Right. It doesn't have to be a forever connection or a long-term connection, mm-hmm. just some kind of connection.
This may sound nuts to y'all, but it's something that I have believed in for many, many years. For me to be sexually intimate with somebody, it is a exchange of energy between two people.
Oh, yeah.
Right? I just don't want to exchange that energy with anybody.
And that's a part of one of many millions of reasons I love you. Because even though I never thought of it in those terms, I completely agree. So are they your only two partners right now?
Yes.
Okay, so there's three of us. all female, there's three of us.
Yes.
Okay, so the top question, because the original request for the topic was how do you, you know, manage to be a 24, you know, we have a 24/7 DS mm-hmm. relationship that we're maintaining, and you're poly, so can you give us some ideas of how you juggle that?
With Little Ass, it is not so much that we have a power dynamic between us. She does respect that. Now, when she was here, it was kind of funny. Kayla didn't pick up on that very quickly, but I did, and it was kind of funny to watch because Little Lass was submissive to me.
Oh, yes, very much so.
Okay. She was submissive to me, but when it came to you, she was dominant.
I know, and I loved it. Yeah. It was awesome.
Mm-hmm. She towards me, she had that submissive energy. Towards you, she exuded a lot of dominant energy.
Oh, yes. And it was hot.
Yeah, it was.
It was hot.
Yeah, it was. And you were, when I first told you about it, you were like, oh, no, 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 no. And I was like, well, there was this, there was that, there. Oh, yeah.
Doms speak the same language. Y'all know each other. You can find each other. It's like a home and beacon.
So.
But you do, I have witnessed, and I don't know how you see it, but mm-hmm. you do, act as almost an advisor to her. She's got a question and wants your opinion, right. And I know there are things she wants your approval on. Not in the same way I, as your submissive, want your approval. Like, she's not asking for permission, but I think she trusts your judgment. I know that for a fact. She's told me that. And she does want to sort of know what you think about a situation to help her decide what she wants to do.
Correct.
So, I mean, it's not a strict power exchange, but it's certainly a seeing you as an authority figure of some sort.
True. I think you helped come up with this. She, you would not let anybody else ever call me daddy.
Nope. That's a hard, like that, right? That's messing me up. That's a hard limit.
That is a very hard limit.
It's one of those hard limits that's so hard I don't even feel selfish about it. That's like, come at me with that one. No, mm-hmm. No, not cool.
So, she calls me Papa Bear.
Mm-hmm. And I helped you pick the name, and yes. I love that name for you. And see, I said this in the blog post. I do not care if your partners, because you... I know you have the ability to express your dominance in different ways with different people, depending on who they are, the energy exchange, all of that.
Right.
But on a lot of levels, you're a daddy. You just are. You're a daddy dom. And I recognize that other people are going to see that in you, and they're going to be drawn to it, and they're going to want to have experienced that for themselves. And so I don't have a single problem with somebody seeing you as a daddy dom, you being their daddy dom. And if all I ask is that whatever title they use, it can be like daddy. It can mean the same thing. So yeah, when she started calling you Papa Bear, I was like, I love that. If I had thought of it first, I might have stolen it because I like it. But really, you're daddy and you just will be. So it's not the meaning behind it that I am bothered by. It is just, that's my word.
Right.
It's oh goodness, I'm having feelings. We got to talk about something
okay.
else.
All right. Now with the other person, she is married.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
She is also poly, yeah?
Yes.
Yes.
She is also poly.
I guess clearly she's in a power exchange with you.
Yeah. She is poly. Now, before anything happened with us in having this kind of power, any kind of power exchange, I actually chatted with her husband.
And I really liked that. That made me feel better about her, and it's not even happening to me.
Yeah, I mean, he had certain concerns, and rightly so.
Right, absolutely.
And through that... he had these concerns and he and I talked about it. And with that, certain boundaries and parameters were set.
So he had boundaries for himself that he needed to be met to be okay with it?
Yes.
Ah, cool. Okay.
Yes.
I feel less alone now.
Yeah.
Okay, good.
Yeah. And I think that's something, especially, I don't want to go into too much detail with it, but... I don't think he is poly himself.
Ah, gotcha.
Okay.
But he accepts the fact that she is.
Correct.
Gotcha.
Correct.
Gotcha.
So, it's, I'm not going to lie, it's a little bit of a juggling act.
Well, I would hope so. I would hope it's not like, oh, this is easy. I just put everything on automated whatever.
And no.
You're dealing with people and real people and real feelings and real situations and real lives. So it should be a bit of a juggle. But
it is.
From my perspective, I do not, ever since, because that person, your online person, was the first time we branched out like this.
Yeah.
And so it made sense that there would be that blip as you figured things out.
Right.
But since then, there's any time I've ever felt neglected, it was because you and I were just too fucking busy. It wasn't because you were ignoring me,
right?
Ignored.
It's been more that our general life in general.
Our general life in general, huh?
All right.
I love you.
You're the words person here. Okay?
No,
so
I know.
So don't. But no, I mean, yeah, it's just because our life itself has gotten hectic at times.
And I think that is helpful to have come into this for both of us so clear-eyed and so strong in our relationship, because when things... I'm not blaming these other things on any problems we're having internally. Yeah. I recognize what's going on internally and that we need to work on it. Now, have you had conflicts with either of them that you've had to resolve?
Yeah. I mean, it's not unheard of. It's like any other relationship.
I know. Well, it,
you know, nothing
how...
nothing ever goes smoothly.
Everything should be perfect all the time. but do you find, because you are dealing with different people, that you tend to handle conflict similarly to each of us, or is it very unique to each individual person?
It's different but the same.
So you have your own style, but you adjust it to each person?
Yeah.
Do you ever find that, I don't mean always, but just every so often, do you ever find that tiring or exhausting or overwhelming?
Yes.
So how do you handle that?
That's when I kind of there are times I need to step back a little bit and recharge.
Even for me? It's okay. You can tell me. I can handle it. Only cry a little.
Remember why I took the trip to Bradenton by myself last week?
I thought you were getting away from the children. That's okay. I sometimes set up an entire day of errands. It's just me and my car and my podcasts. So I totally get it.
Okay.
I know.
I mean, it's, you know, it's something I think that everybody in every relationship at some point needs to do. You need a certain amount. Not that you need to create a void between
but sometimes you
need to have your space, your time.
But I would think, now granted, each relationship is unique, and some at times I guess some are more involved, some are less involved, but the fact that you are expending a lot of mental energy on the needs of three very different people, it would only make sense to me if you would say, oh no, I never get tired, I'm fine, I got this. I'd be like, what drugs are you taking, and will you please share them, because I would like to never be, you know, overwhelmed. Oh yeah. For the podcast listeners.
I was pointing at my coffee cup. Right.
Yes, I know. Coffee is your drug of choice at this point. So we've talked about in this episode, not this episode, on this show many, many times, that sometimes even you can screw up. I can get mad at you. We have to apologize. Mm-hmm. We have to deal with all that. Have you had a moment like that with them yet, where you've been the one who... you know, was the reason for the conflict and have had to fix it? Has that come up?
I am, how do you say it? What's a good word? I am proficient at times for putting my foot in my mouth.
I know. And we love you, so we know you don't mean it. We know.
So, you know, have I made, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh,
but
yes.
Clearly you've worked through it because you're still in these relationships with these people.
Yeah.
Do you have any interest or can you foresee having, not necessarily even in a submissive or bottom or, you know, whatever, a power exchange kind of role, but can you foresee having a fourth person on some level?
You sitting down?
Well, I hope so.
Okay. I have entertained the thought. Mm. Okay, not gonna lie, I've entertained the thought. And I think if that were to be the case, I would want it to be I need a word.
Somebody local?
Yes.
So not long distance.
Yeah.
Because long distance does, and no matter what level a relationship is at, long distance does take just more energy. It takes more emotional energy, mental energy, time, you know, and it can be worth it. Anybody who's done LDR knows that it can be worth it.
It's tough.
But yeah, it is tough. And you know, I know that we don't talk too much about it because there's nothing to say at this point, if ever, but I know you've kind of put feelers out locally, and it, you know, clearly hasn't come to anything because there's, you know, nothing to potentially mention, but and that does make sense, because I'm not sure I could do long distance with anybody. Even now, yeah. I don't have anybody. I got you, and that's, you know, yeah. I'm perfectly happy. Yeah. But if I were to entertain the idea of it, I don't know. I wouldn't reject it out of hand.
Right.
But yeah, I personally would be afraid of disappointing somebody because I would be worried I couldn't give them enough time. So I always find it pretty, I've watched you though. You are very routine and structured with your day. So yes. I guess my question is, did you set this up purposely or does this happen naturally? Because I've watched you have very specific times of the day you talk to this person and mm-hmm. they said sometimes there's an overlap, but then very specific times they talk to another person.
Right.
And not to, is that to keep them separate or is that just how it worked out naturally?
It just kind of how it worked out naturally. It did. It just kind of worked out naturally. You're right. I am very routine oriented.
Yeah, don't mess up this man's routine. Oh my God.
Don't get in my way. Because I will barrel you over.
And then he'll growl at you why he does it. Ask why the hell he doesn't have any more coffee. And not that I know anything about it. Never experienced it for myself.
And that's good and bad, too, because it makes it difficult. We not to say that we do a ton of traveling, you know, but we've hit the road a number of times.
Sure.
You know, and it's like, okay, well, you know... okay, little lass, I'm going to be traveling. Okay, you know, so we're going to be traveling and, you know.
Right.
And then, you know, well, they want you to check in, or they're traveling and right. you know, you check in with them and.
It's a juggling act sometimes.
It is.
But you enjoy it or you would not keep doing it.
Yeah.
You enjoy them. You have a connection with them.
Absolutely. Have a very strong connection with both of them on. It's different levels, okay? I mean, one, it's a very deep friendship. Yes, I care about her greatly. Little lass. It's romantic. It's caregiving. It's, you know, it's a number of different things. You know, and it's tough. And I say this not to diss long distance, because we were long distance and we worked through it quite well. But, you know, there are times when little lass or the other, you know, they're having bad days and it's like, all I want to do is, you know, just give him a hug.
You want to be a daddy. I know.
You know.
Yeah. And that's hard.
Like the other day with you, when you were having, you know, some things going on and you just needed to step away from what you were doing. And I went in the room and, you know, I could not do much more than what I did, but to lay down next to you and hold you and stroke your head and be there for you.
And you did what you're good at and you've always been good at with me, whether you're close by and we're in the same room or we're long distance. And so I have no doubt you do this for them too, even if you don't realize it. You've always accepted me as I was, even if you were like really confused, like, what the hell's going on here? You might have asked, what the hell is going on here? And yet you're not judgmental. So if somebody says, you know, I'm freaking out, because you're not telling me why I shouldn't be freaking out. You're not telling me how I should fix it. You're going, okay, I'm here with you. What can I do for you? And now that you kind of know what you can do with me specifically, because we have been together so long at this point, you don't have to say anything. But I have no doubt, because I know you, that they, in their moments of need, have felt some version of that. Because you used to do that for me when we were long distance. I'd be freaking...
True.
You might try to calm me down. You might try to get me to see some reason. But you never negated my feelings. You never said I was, you know, wrong for having them. Or that my feelings were wrong. You know, it was an acceptance of who I was in all my, you know, emotional glory. So that's part of who you are as a human being. And so I have no doubt that you provide that on some level for them too. And that is comforting when the whole world is trying to tell you how broken you are, how wrong you are, how weird you are, to have somebody in your life who says, nope, this is who you are. Cool. Then I'm cool with that too. You know, and that's powerful. So I can see why they're all, you know, like saying hey, you know, to you, because those are the two you've made a deep connection with. And I know you've got a lot of friends and flirtations. We talk about those too.
Oh yeah.
Because even before we really,
I mean, this is going to sound, no, maybe, no, never mind. While to some degree I am an introvert.
Not when it comes to flirting.
I
or waving to the neighbors during the evening walk. That's another conversation. Go ahead.
That's a whole other girl.
That's not even about this episode. We're talking about me and Polly.
Right. Yeah, I enjoy that harmless flirtation.
And you're good, and people are typically women. I mean, I don't want to like just say it's always one type of person, but typically women are very drawn to that with you too. I mean, I know you have flirtations on Tumblr, and some people are so sweet. There are some people who will not message you without putting me in that message too. I'm like, I don't need to know. It's fine. But I won't say that. I respect that they respect the relationship enough for that. And then there are some people who will get flirty with you, and then apparently they get worried that it's gone a little too far. They're like, does Kayla know? It's like, she's standing over my shoulder reading this message. Yeah, she knows. So, you know, but you know, it's funny. We did not really identify as Polly for a long time. And you've been with your online submissive for a while. And we still didn't consider ourselves Polly.
Mm-mm.
We did always say we were monogamous. We check out people together.
Oh, yeah. You know, I was going to mention that. One of the things, you know, obviously we talk about it enough. We go to Starbucks all the time. It's our home away from home.
Yeah, they know, us on site.
They all know us. You know, it's kind of like walking into Cheers and, you know, hey, Norm.
I know. The one thing we do different is we kind of switch up our drink order, so they never know what we want.
Right.
And so it's always a guess.
But when we're there, she'll, you know, like you tweeted the other day.
Oh my god, yes.
You know, you'll be checking out guys, and
that man was fine.
He was.
Oh my god, he was so gorgeous.
He was. Oh yeah.
Oh yeah.
And I'll check, you know, with her, and
y'all,
and she'll check out women with me.
Yes, I will. I'm usually looking at their ass.
So you're an ass girl, huh?
Oh yeah. yoga pants are the best thing ever, and not just because I like wearing them. I have questions about my own sexuality that I'm not sure of. But so we are monogamous. We have talked about that before.
Yes.
You know, it might be a new concept for some people who they haven't heard us say that before. But yeah, we are very open about the fact that we are attracted to other people. We might not act on that attraction.
We had watched a TED Talk.
Yes, about being monogamous.
Monogamous.
And I linked to it in show notes. It's back in a previous episode, early
and,
episode.
And it was a fascinating TED Talk, and it was an eye opener for both of us in a lot of ways.
Because it's
sort of like, oh, that's us.
And it gives you permission when you hear somebody else talk about a thing that you do, like us checking out other people or going, that person's hot. You like that person, right? Because we don't shame each other. I know. So this is what I'm going to say. This is Florida. Okay. So you would, you know, in the summer you think, oh, well, all the real thin, beautiful women are wearing, you know, certain types of clothes. You can see lots of skin. Yeah. Yeah. No, this man lives for winter. Why? Because winter is boot season. And he has a genuine boot fetish. I have walked around this house naked wearing nothing but boots before, y'all, just to make a certain someone happy. It didn't do anything for me, but it made him happy. So it does help that I like to look at asses and he likes to look at boots, because boots will usually make your ass look good. So if you want a pair of yoga pants with boots, you're a sure thing with us, quite frankly.
There you go.
But watching that video gave, for us, it put a name on what we were already doing, but for other people, it gives permission. It lets them know that, oh, this thing we're doing is not deviant in a bad way. Mm-mm. That's a potentially healthy thing. And I think that does help too, that neither of us is worried that if he finds somebody more attractive, that means he somehow doesn't love me. And it's not more attractive. It's that person is attractive. That person is hot. That person, I'm over there going, I love that. I love that butt. I'm so sorry. But see, the thing is, I could run up to her and go, oh my God, you look so cute. And, you know, as long as that didn't affect that person's boundaries, they'd probably go, oh, thank thank you. And they would never know that I'd be like, oh my
if
God,
I
I'm
did
so
it,
hot.
They'd have the SWAT squad.
Yes, if you run up to a random person who appears to be a woman and go, oh my God, you're so cute. Yes, yes, she is going to call somebody on you. Optics do matter. People don't always know how to handle things. And the 57-year-old man with the beard and his big giant coffee in his hand running up squealing about how gorgeous she is would probably throw her off.
Would be a little frowned upon.
Just
yeah.
a little bit. Yeah. In circles we run in, it would be fine. We'd go, oh, thank you for noticing. I can think of a few of our friends who would think that that's perfectly acceptable, but that's our bubble. Mm-hmm. So,
now,
go ahead.
Question for you.
Uh-oh. You know you can get me on a rant way too easy. Are you sure you want to do this?
Yeah.
Okay. He says he does.
Question for you.
Uh-huh.
In all this, since this, you know, our relationship evolved, has begun evolving in this manner, mm-hmm. have you ever at any point felt jealous?
The only time, I don't think it was truly jealousy, and Professor Sex has had some really interesting conversations about what jealousy really is, mm-hmm. and that it's an insecurity, and it's not about the other person, it's about something within you. The only time I remember really feeling it, and I recognized it immediately that it wasn't truly jealousy, whatever we think jealousy is, was during that time as you were adjusting with your first long distance relationship, because mm-hmm. like you said, new relationship energy was high, you were trying to figure all this out, you wanted to talk, y'all wanted to talk to each other all the time. And the first time I'm left waiting when I need you, okay, that's fine, that happens. The second time, not my favorite, but I get it. I'm an understanding person. By the time I got the fifth time of something I legitimately needed,
that's crossing
a line. I went, I'm done. At some point, I can't have these, you know, the way I try to be fair-minded. So had it been a crisis, I'm going to stand back and go handle what you got to do. I'm fine. If it had been a situation where you were like, okay, there's this thing going on and I'm going to be a little bit out of communication while I help this person, I go, okay, I know. But this truly was a moment where I felt forgotten, and it was my own insecurity, and it was me wondering, can we really do this? I had those moments. Am I capable mm-hmm. of this? Am I, you know, knowing I have the trust issues that I have, you know, is me saying that I trust you that much, is that all talk or is that real? And so they were twinges, but anytime I even have a twinge, I just come talk to you. And now the twinge is not jealousy. It's not jealousy in the sense of my relationship feels threatened or I think my relationship is being threatened. Mm-hmm. I'm a baby girl and I want all of the attention because I'm a baby
because
girl.
Because you're a baby girl.
And
yes.
But see, you know, it does pay off to live inside your head a lot and to constantly be thinking about who you are as a human being. Because I recognize those moments for what they are. I do not have blind baby girl tantrums where I don't know why I'm throwing a tantrum. I'm just pissed off. I know this is a baby girl moment, and I, you know, let me pinpoint it back to a moment of vulnerability or mm-hmm. just not feeling good or whatever. And so if it comes through, I just don't even remember the last time it came through. And quite frankly, since R was last here, and we had that wild weekend together.
Yes.
I don't think I've had that feeling since, because that was the moment that I witnessed you connecting in a very physical way and a mm-hmm. very emotional way with another human being, in a way that is slightly different than me, but is also the same way I connect with you. And it's an amazing feeling. Yeah. And so for me, at that point, any feelings that I might have had left over of potential insecurity and jealousy were gone.
Now see, what I want to say about that too is you talk about, you know, yes, we had some very intense sexual energy. And, you know, we talk about it the weekend and what. But, you know, it wasn't just a sex-crazed weekend.
No, we talked for hours. Oh, my God.
We sat and talked.
Until our throats were raw.
Yeah. the three of us went out together. We went out in town. We, mm-hmm. you know, went to local attractions. We,
yeah,
you know.
We, and see, here's the thing. Here's what I know about myself. And I think you had said it before, there has to be an energy thing, but there has to be a connection. And on an energy level, yes, I have to kind of get a vibe from a mm-hmm. person and go, yeah, that's my person over there. But there has to be an intellectual connection. If I can't have a conversation with somebody, I cannot You're fuck right. somebody. I'm not capable
not
of it.
Not wired that way.
Not wired that yeah. way. And I cannot, it's not like I have a conversation, we check some boxes and now I can fuck you. Mm-hmm. I have to think that you are interesting and intelligent and somebody I want to have a conversation with. Somebody who either fascinates me or interests me or, you know, that I connect with yeah. on that intellectual and mental level, and then I can entertain the thought of a physical connection. Right. And that's the hardest part, because, you know, it's not there. Of course, there are plenty of people out there like that, but I have connected with people on that top level and then not either had the opportunity or felt a comfort level or the attraction or whatever for the physical.
To go to the next
right.
level.
And I am hopeless. I can try and be different. I can try and be different than who I really am. But I'm a person who has to be pursued. I am incapable of pursuing somebody else. I am
not wired that way. No, you're not.
I am not wired that way. You and I have been together how many years? And I think we can count on one hand the amount of times I have told you exactly what I wanted sexually.
Yeah.
And how long did it take? Easily over a year, 2 years before I could do it the first time?
Yeah.
So the idea, I don't know what I'm being flirted with. I don't even know. I've been accused of flirting. I'm like, I don't know. I don't know what that is. I'm having conversations and I'm trying to be the funny one. That is yeah. what's happening. If you take that for flirting, okay, that's how I flirt, I guess. I don't know when people are attracted to me. I don't know when they're flirting with me. Mm-hmm. I don't know how to handle it if somebody's direct with me and says, I think I like you. I'm interested in you. I want to fuck you. I'd be like, eyes would do that back and forth thing you see in cartoons. Like I would be. Yeah. So you and I are very much wired differently, which is why it is so strange to me that I have those interests and those leanings to the mm-hmm. idea of having my own different kind of connection.
Right.
But because connections are always so deep for me, I, you know, maybe I'm an impossible case.
The impossible girl?
Maybe it's just, you know, I'm just too, I have too many, like, this, then that, and this, and then that, you know. I can't, because the thing is it's two people coming together to create something, and it's got to be on equal terms, even if those terms mm-hmm. are different, equal terms for both people. And then what we have learned is that your relationship with these people is, in a way, separate and apart from you and I, and yet we are all connected, because if one of us is neglected in some way or one of us is unhappy, in small ways it trickles to everything, because
True.
Ultimately you're the center point for all of us, and
yeah.
if you are stressed or angry or hurt or overwhelmed or having to focus on one person,
it flows out.
Everybody gets affected
by it.
It
flows outward, yes.
Now, I would say to maybe close this. So this is funny. At the top, before we start recording, I went, I don't know that we'd have... I didn't record this time, but I said it to him privately. I don't know that we have that much to talk about on this topic. Yeah.
I think that this
I lied.
Is... I think this topic is a very broad
and it is, and we really are only... And the funny thing is we're talking from our perspective
right.
today, at this moment, and then 6 months, a year, there could be a shift in dynamics. There could
mm-hmm.
be new people. Some people might, you know, go to different things. Something might end, something might start, you know, and then it's a completely different conversation because
True.
It's completely different people. And I think... The thing that I have learned from observation and from watching and listening and reading other people who know more about this than I do is that that's what it is about. And as long as you remember that there are individuals with their own needs involved, I am not competing with either of those two. They are not competing with
No.
me. We are not, we are equal in some ways in the sense that we all care for you in our own ways. We each get a different amount of attention and probably a different intensity to that intention. But when you are with each one of us individually in whatever way that is, you are totally with us. Like, when you're talking mm-hmm. to me, I don't ever get a sense that you're mentally off with them. And if I thought you were, I would say something, and it would probably be that they're in crisis or they're having a problem and that right. you're worried about them. I would like to think, because I know you, that when you are talking to them, they know that they have got your attention and mm-hmm. your focus. And that, to me, is a feat of juggling and time management and attention. And not everybody is cut out for that. And that's,
no.
This conversation is never to say that all doms need to go be poly. No. Or that all submissives need to accept if their dominant is poly. No. This is unique to everybody, and not everybody wants this or is cut out for it. You have the biggest heart, not physically, metaphorically, of anybody I've ever met. You are one of the kindest people I've ever met in my whole life. There are times I feel like such a bitch when compared to you. You do make me a better person, for sure, because I go, oh, he's so nice. I should be a little less mean. So to me, the fact that you identify as poly makes sense because your heart is so big. You have this capacity to love people for who they are and not make them feel like they're an afterthought or they are not as important as other people you love. You have this ability to love this person for who they are. Yeah. And I know I'm speaking for other people and that's dangerous, but mm-hmm. I know these people, if they thought you were doing otherwise, you would not be talking to them anymore. But when you're loving one of us, we know it's just us. There's no comparison. Yeah. There's none of that. You really do have that ability. I know I have the ability to connect to other people. I do not know if I have anything beyond that. I'm curious. I'd like to know. I'm terrified to know. are there other points? Because we went, I was talking to you based on my check, mm-hmm. my little notes, at the show notes themselves. So we covered all that. Is there any point that you don't feel like we covered?
I'm sure I'll think of it tomorrow morning.
Of course. Or the moment we turn off the mic and the camera. Yeah, that's usually how that works. And I would say that we will probably evolve and we may have new people come into our lives. And this is a conversation to come back to. But, you know, like we just said a few minutes ago, we don't think everybody has to do this. This is just.
No, it's not for everybody.
No, not at all.
You know, that's something I see a lot, and that kind of scares me, you know, especially from submissive. Oh, I met this dom, you know, we've been talking, and I've submitted to him, and he's told me he's poly. He has other subs.
And I need to be okay with that and get okay with that now. Oh, you know, that's
That's not okay. That's
you
something
don't have
that,
to be okay with it. But you also then have to make a decision.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I have seen usually submissives stay in relationships they didn't really want because they convinced themselves this is the only person they were going to submit to. That's bullshit.
Right.
Okay. And that person saying you just have to accept the fact that they've got all these other subs. The worst ones to me, the doms who do this are the ones who say, I have all these other subs. I will do with them what I want, when I want. You, I don't care how poly you are. You are not allowed to have anybody.
Yes.
But fuck that. If you mm-hmm. are poly and you're with somebody who's poly, you get to negotiate your boundaries that work for you. You do not get to have them dictated to you.
Right.
So there's
I told you too, long, you know.
You told me a few things that will never happen, but you are okay with them if they do. They will never happen. No. I am too hard a case. No, you haven't. And in all fairness, because, you know, the topic, we focused on you and because I have no experience what it must be like to be a submissive with other partners. Can't talk about that. I do know, I have friends who have those dynamics and they can and should. And if they would like to write for Loving BDSM, they should pitch an idea. I think one person is pitching an idea. I was talking to her on Twitter the other night. But, if, you know, if we get to that point, we'll have that conversation. But I watch and I witness, mm-hmm. and you have been very supportive. You have said, what's good for me is good for you. So you have given me, when I use the term permission, I mean it from a dom to a sub, not like you would be accepting of this if I am okay with it.
Right.
I was joking, semi-joking, kind of, very confused about my own sexuality. Let's just put it that way. about getting topped by a woman. Because I think that's the only way I could be with a woman. She'd at least have to top me. I don't know about dominant, but she'd have to top me. Because if you don't tell me what to do, I'm so sorry. I'll just stand there and be lost and giggle uncomfortably and crack a snarky joke. Because that's what I do when I'm uncomfortable. And then we have had limited conversations about men. Mm-hmm. You and I are certainly open to threesomes. We are certainly open to other types of connections.
Right.
They are, have been hard because we would like that to be in person. That has been very hard to come by.
It has.
That was the episode where it was Welcome to Womanhood. Yeah. Because you were talking to all right. these men.
Because I was talking about, you know, some of the poly sites that I had joined on.
Yeah.
Oh, it was just horrible.
Yes. So, you know, there are other variations that even we are open to and talking about and thinking about, but I think you and I both kind of let these things happen naturally and organically. We don't try and go force them.
And sometimes I think that's kind of the best way when it happens.
It certainly is for us.
Yeah.
I mean, other people are like go-getters, and they'll go out there and go, yes, you, and that works for them. That's cool. Yeah. That is not
I mean, some me. You know, there is a certain aspect in life where you're not going to get something if you don't go out and get it.
Absolutely. You have to at least put it out there that you're interested
in it. You have to put the effort. You have to put some effort into it.
Right.
And you know, you're not just going to sit back in your recliner and wait cross for your arms and wait for people to show up.
They don't just knock on your front door and say, take me, I'm yours. What?
No.
I thought that's what happened. No, yeah, you do
in
have
erotica,
to.
It does.
I know, it does. They just, you get a job and then the boss wants to fuck you. Yeah. And ta-da, we're done. Right. You didn't have to do anything but be there. No. Yeah, it's complicated. I think all we're saying is it's complicated.
Yeah.
And it's whatever you make of it. And if I could give advice to Dom or Sub, it's all about the communication.
Exactly.
And if your communication is not quite up to par, just the two of you,
you need to brush up the communication.
It's only going
to
get worse once you have more people in, y'all. It's only going to get worse. So get your shit together and then look into other things.
And dip your toes in the water. Just don't dive in head first.
Yeah, that would never be my advice either. No. We are cautious people by nature, though. So, you know, some people just run screaming through life naked, going, take me! And it works out for them.
True.
I'm not one of those people. Okay, so we do have a fairly short bonus section.
Yes.
She says now, we'll see how long this goes.
Yeah, right. I've heard that before.
Famous last words.
Okay.
Okay, so but if you have questions, if there's something that you really wished we had addressed in this, feel free to
reach
send us
out,
a message.
Please.
We'll answer it. If we get enough, of course, we'll come back and talk about it later.
Yes.
If you have different experiences where you've been maybe in a similar situation but just did something completely different, feel free to share with us because we're always wanting to learn too, and there's always different ways to do the same thing. So that's us being poly and you being 24/7 Dom and managing it all. There we go. We did it.
Okay.
We
good?
Vaguely.
Okay.
Keep it kinky, y'all. And we'll see you next week. Okay, so I can't stay silent because there's a camera on me.
I know.
But I waited for you to start writing your number.
You did. Thank you, baby girl.
You're welcome. Okay, so I'll go first.
That's my good girl.
Thank you, daddy. Okay, so I'll go first.
Go ahead.
I really am tired, and when we're recording on Thursday evening.
Yes.
Not at midnight, though, so that's cool. And I still have easily 2 or 3 hours worth of work to do before I can be done for the day. Mm. All because I'm trying to take a 3-day weekend.
Yes.
So, and I took Tuesday off because my mental health sort of went, no, you need to stop now.
Yeah.
And then Wednesday, I was still dealing with that. But then I was like, let's go play hooky and go to lunch without the children. And we did. I'm not saying where. I know there are still awake and can hear. All right. If you really want to know where we went to lunch, it was not glamorous, but we can't say it out loud because the boys might hear.
But it was damn good.
We lied to them about where we were going because it's a place they love to go to.
Yeah.
We were like, no, we need a break. We love you, but we need a break.
That was an adult only, adult swim.
You know, and I've raised such good boys that they know that when Adult Swim comes on, they have to turn off the TV.
Yep.
They're not even curious. They're like, nope, that means I've got to turn off this TV. Okay, I'm winning. And so, yeah, there's been a lot of work, but only because I'd like try to front load it all into a couple of days. There was something else I was going to say. Oh, yeah. I tweeted out, it's Thursday when we're recording, and I tweeted out that I haven't gotten a period in 8 years, which is true. I'm on an IUD that eliminates my period. But today I got cramps, and I got pelvic pain, and I got leg aches, and my internal temperature gauge is off the fucking charts because I'm having hot flashes left and fucking right.
And I'm sitting here cool as a cucumber.
I know. I'm like, would you come touch me? I have boob sweat. And he's like, yeah, sure. I'll touch your boob sweat.
Like, it's not the way I imagine touching them.
Well, mostly I'm trying to prove that I'm really fucking hot. And he's like, but I'm really cool. Good. Give me your cold hands. I want your cold hands. You will touch me. It does make me grateful that I do not actually get my period anymore. This IUD works. When I was getting all those steroid shots in my neck several weeks ago, they, every time I go in, they were like, you have to take another pregnancy test. I'm like, I'm telling you this, I'm not pregnant. And they're like, I know, but we're required to because you're of the age you could have kids and you're on a birth control. So I'm like, okay, but if I am pregnant, you got to go out there and tell him. I'm moving into this room right here and I'm never leaving it because I'm not going to be pregnant again. I can see light at the end of this parenting tunnel. I'm not doing this anymore. No. And so lo and behold, I was never pregnant. I was like, yeah, I didn't think so. And by the third one, I was like, she's like, I know you're not pregnant. You were just here last week. I know. It's like, she's like, just go pee in the cup for me. Okay. Like we got to the point, they weren't even pointing me to where the bathroom was. Anyway. She's like, you know where it is, right? I'm like, yeah, I got it. She's like, you want to leave your purse in here? I'll watch it. Yeah, thanks. And take my little bag and go pee in a cup and pee on my hand mostly. Which I don't know if guys have any concept, if people with penises, let's put it that way, have any concept of this, but peeing in a cup is mostly just peeing on your hand. Until you find the angle. And then you might pee in the cup. That's my maybe I'm the only one and all the women in the world are like, no, I don't know what she's talking about. I've never experienced that at all.
I'm not going there.
No. So that's my random rant about pregnancy tests at the doctor. We couldn't have scripted that one. All because I'm being reminded, I think what would have happened is if I was not on this birth control right now, I would be on my period or starting my period. And it makes me very grateful. As bad as I felt today, not just not wanting to have babies is one of the reasons, but I have really bad periods. And so not having them has been wonderful because, I mean, I like hated life for 7 to 9 days a month, every month. Sometimes twice a month. See, you've never been with me and known me as a woman who has a period.
That's true.
Like, you've never experienced that. Be very, very grateful. Be so grateful. It was not pretty for anybody. So, that's been my thing for bonus section of, it feels like I'm on my period. Yay, glamorous. Go ahead, what's your thing?
I traumatized a 13-year-old today.
Don't you do that every day?
Yeah, but more so than normal.
What'd you do today?
Well,
where was I? What was going on? I missed this.
Oh, you did miss it. He wanted a Raspberry Pi.
Which is a computer thing. For his birthday. It's not pie, y'all.
It's not real pie. It's a little microcomputer that runs an operating system called Linux. And it's something that he was interested in. He wanted to get it. And he actually has to build this.
Which is the reason we were willing to buy it for him.
Right. And his thought was he had this little aluminum tin that he wanted to use to build the circuit board in and everything. But he was stumped because he needed a slot for the ribbon cable for the video, for the screen to come through. And comes out, me and Eve, you know. And first I ran a few thoughts through my head, and I was like, no, I don't have that tool, don't have that tool. And then I had like, I have a Dremel.
Where would we be without Dremels?
Right?
Who knows? Who knows?
And I have cutting wheels for it. So I was like, come with me. Come to the garage.
Come out to my magical shop of testosterone.
And I got the Dremel all set up, put the cutting wheel in, set up a little thing so that I could cut through it and not cut through the other side. And told him, okay, you're going to hold one side of this tin. Don't let it move. And I'm going to hold the other. So that way I have one hand free
to actually work the Dremel. Gotcha. Okay.
So I fire it up. tell him, all right, hold on. Put the blade down onto the tin, and it's a carbon blade. It sparked. It threw sparks. That boy jumped 5 feet, if not an inch.
Well, he's one of those inside children. So if it's got a screen and a keyboard, he's there for it. If it's got a controller, he's there for it.
And they're, you know, I'm cutting and there's sparks flying and everything. He's like, oh my God, doesn't that hurt? Aren't you getting burned?
That's probably a parenting fail on my end. That he's 13 and that's the first time he's ever seen sparks come from a tool in action. Yeah, I'm not winning any awards. Well, that's why we have you in our lives, so you can give them these experiences. Yeah.
But one, all that aside, it was kind of neat. I helped him compile the operating system for it, and he got this thing together and he got it working.
It's working now.
It's working. He got the system booted up. It took a while to load the
Yes, he was very concerned. He wanted me to wake you up from a nap. I went, no, we're not doing that. I'm not waking this one up from a nap.
Well, unfortunately with Linux, it's especially first time around, it's got a lot, it has a lot of updates.
Gotcha.
So it did take a while to update, which I did try to tell him is normal. Just leave it be. You know,
it's his birthday present. He's excited.
I know. He was excited. And, you know, it reminded me of me the first time I loaded Windows 3.1.
That's a blast.
Sat there and watched the progress bar the whole time.
There are listeners out there who are like, what? That's a thing? I thought it started at Windows XP or Windows Vista. I know y'all are out there. It's okay. No shame. It's okay. So we're goofy and we're going out of town this weekend because the adventure this weekend. And if I think about it, you know what we didn't do?
What didn't we do?
We didn't talk about our mail. We have mail. Yeah. I know. We got lovely mail.
Yes.
That's how tired I am, y'all. So if y'all recall from last week, our friend Reaper is traveling across 1,500 miles across the country to visit his baby girl who has not seen in a long time.
Is it visit or they're moving? I think they're moving. They're actually
He's
moving.
He's going to see her. I'm sure of that. So we got, last week we got Washington, and I'm holding this up. Try hold this up for the camera. You know I can't do this. So if you're watching on YouTube, you actually see. I think
there
I got
you go.
It.
You
I got it.
It.
But we got a glare. It says Washington. And then we got two from Idaho.
Yeah.
Ah, I can't do this. Ah, there I did it.
There you go.
I can't work cameras. Okay. Well, I'm actually working the camera. I'm working me within the camera. Both from Idaho. So that was really cool.
Yes.
I was trying to look at based on the postmark dates, he might be there. Because these are from a few days ago. Then we got another postcard from a lovely listener in...
This one's from Tennessee.
Columbia, Tennessee. It says, get carried away. There we go. Trying to hold up to the camera. I don't know if you could see it. Yeah, I'm going to let you be my lovely assistant, John Russell.
There we go. Got the glare on.
And we won't say her name because I don't know if that's like the name that people would know her by. And that's not cool. So that was awesome. And then we got this lovely, lovely letter that I'm not going to read all of because there are some personal details in it, but it is from a listener who found us through Coffee and Kink, our friend Amy.
Yes.
So shout out to Amy of Coffee and Kink. And he did say he really wanted to thank us for the episode on raising sex positive, kink friendly kids, which that was because as he says in his letter, that was not really his experience in education.
Experience, unfortunately.
And it was a really, really cool letter. And then at the end, this was awesome because it said, this is the first letter I've actually written in years. And I actually feel, maybe this makes me dorky, but I feel honored by that because it is an effort to, once we've all been typing, or many of us have been typing for a long time, and to actually, you know, pick up pen or pencil and write, it is an effort. My hand hurts. I don't write.
But that
so
letter,
that was really cool.
That letter was amazing.
I know.
I sat down to read it and I was just like, wow.
Now there is this one section I will read. I'm skimming back through because we were like passing it back and forth and reading it. It says, on a note from your latest episode, coffee service should absolutely be a thing for a service sub. In this world of nasty K-cup coffee, having someone properly brew you coffee that actually tastes good truly is a service.
Yes.
That is true. That is very, very true. And at the end, he apologizes for it being rambly. Please. Rambly is my middle name.
Right.
Okay, I'm not offended by
Have
rambly.
Have you met this one here next to me?
Quite rambly.
Jeez.
So it was absolutely lovely. And now I feel like shit because we forgot it at the end. And you know why? It's because it wasn't sitting right in front of me. Normally, I put it on my keyboard on the laptop, which is what this beautiful lighting is if you're watching on YouTube. And it was sitting off to the side so I wouldn't get coffee or anything on it. And so we did get mail and it was wonderful. And if anybody... is interested in sending us a little card because we love to get mail that's not a bill.
We do.
And I'll be doing postcards for patrons in August, and I'll also do postcards for people who have sent us mail that gave us a return address for the show in August as well. So I have not completely neglected my postcard sending, but we will do that. So if you would like to get a postcard, the link in the show notes says the Postcard Project, which is a shitty name for this, but we take postcards, we take Hallmark cards if you can't find a postcard. We are happy to accept handwritten letters.
Yes.
We've gotten typed letters for people who use keyboard. We've gotten homemade postcards.
Postcards, yeah.
So whatever form of mail, because who doesn't like to... Everybody likes to get mail that's not a bill. So,
yes.
And, you know... Hopefully it's not too dear a cost, you know, the cost of a stamp. You know, hopefully that's something that is a low barrier for people who want to participate. Because I do know some things people are like, I would love to do that, but I ain't got no money. I totally get that. So hopefully this is a thing. And then, yeah, we do. If you give us your return address and we have not already sent you one, we will send you a postcard. So we do appreciate it. I'm sorry.
Yes.
I'm sorry it was late. I'm sorry. I feel awful. Because it was such good mail. But yeah, so that's...
Yeah.
I think that's plenty. We've done... We talked way more than we thought we would.
Exactly.
As we always do.
All right. Say goodnight, Gracie.
I don't want to. And it's only goodnight for us. We don't know when the people are listening or watching. It might be morning or lunch.
Okay.
Sure.
All right.
High tea. That's a thing, right? High tea.
Yes. Oh, yes.
That's a thing. I know. I can't
eat
it. I want to.
I know.
But I can't. Because I can't eat breads. I'm very sad.
It's okay, baby girl.
Don't they do a bread-free high tea? But except I want the cookies and the scones. And the little cucumber sandwiches with the cream cheese stuff. I want that.
Yeah.
But I can't have that.
I know.
It's very sad.
It is.
So we're going to go now so I can be sad and
get
back to work. I don't
All
know.
All right.
Hopefully when you guys are listening to this, I'm on the road figuring out where we're going to live.
Right, that's what we're doing
next
this
year.
Weekend.
That's what we're doing this weekend.
We'll talk about that next week in the bonus section.
Yeah, and we might show pictures, like be goofy. Y'all know how we are when we get on the road.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's
All
it, right?
Yeah.
Love you guys.
Love you.
Bye.
Thank you. Bye.